tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. Every lightning bolt where it should go. unbreakable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our
Hope Show listeners. I'm so happy that all of you decided to tune into the Hope Show today. It's a wonderful time for all of us to get together, to worship and praise the Lord, listen to His Word, and to fellowship with one another. Just to take time out of our busy days and to come together and focus on God and to learn more about Him. Any day that you can do that, it's a wonderful day. I hope all of you have had a good week. Today we're going to be talking about how it all started. We will be studying the book of Genesis today, but only, for the most part, up to 1 through 11 is where our main focus will be, but we'll touch on other parts of it as well. Sometimes a person gets so caught up in the chaos going on around them, and we tend to forget to breathe sometimes. Just breathe. Sometimes we can feel the weight of the world on our shoulders, and we think that it's all on us, you know, to get all these things accomplished or, you know, to make all these decisions, and we forget to put God in the center of it. Because that's where it all started, was with God, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis. We must never take out God out of the center of everything that we do. And in God, that is where we find our peace and our joy. And if we lay our burdens at His feet, truly lay them at His feet, and don't pick them back up, which I'm guilty of, settled. That is what God created us to be, the light in a dark world. The earth, the world, they haven't always been in this condition. Back in the beginning of time, when God first created the earth, there was no corruption. Until the time where God made man and woman, that's where the corruption began. Let's go back to the beginning and take a look at what happened. But first, let us all bow our head in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for all of us to come together right now, right here in this place, to worship and praise your holy name, to hear the word that you have brought forth for us, and to fellowship with one another. We gather here today to give you all the praise and the glory that you so rightfully deserve for all your greatness. Creator of heavens and earth, your power is limitless, your grace is overwhelming, and your love is never failing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, I want to thank you for joining me in that moment of prayer. Our key verses for today are from Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:28. Genesis 1:1 says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, were created. And then in Genesis 1:28, the Bible says, "And God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" This, my friends, is where it truly all started. Genesis is a Hebrew word meaning "in the beginning." There are 5 books in the Old Testament. Genesis is the first book, obviously. The book of Genesis is so important to us because it tells us how everything began. It explains who we are, where we came from, and what our problem truly is. The key points of Genesis are, first, the creation of this earth, but secondly, the key point is God in the garden, and thirdly, what happens after the garden. The creation story begins with this first verse saying, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." This short, simple sentence summarizes all the drama that is about to unfold, and we still see and live amid that today, all the drama that came from that first short, simple sentence of the Bible. Now let's go on to see how God created the earth day by day. So on the first day, God created light and separated the light from the darkness, calling light day and darkness night. On the second day, God created an expanse to separate the waters, and he called that the sky. On the third day, God created dry ground and gathered the waters, calling the dry ground land and the gathered water seas. On this same day, God also created plants and trees. On the fourth day, God created the sun, moon, and the stars to give light to the earth and to govern and separate the day and the night. And this would also serve as a sign to mark the seasons, days, months, and years. On day 5, God created every living creature of the sea and every winged bird, blessing them to multiply and fill the waters and the sky with life. On day 6, God created the animals to fill the earth, and also on this day he created man and woman, who we all know were named Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve in his own image to commune with him. He blessed them and gave them dominion over every living thing, the whole earth to rule over, care for, and to cultivate. And on the seventh day, Sunday, God finished his work of creation and he rested on that seventh day. God finished his work of creation and he rested, blessing it and making it a holy day. So from this we derive at the conclusion that there are 2 main characters in the Bible at this time. God, that which is known as man. In that moment, God set the stage and all the drama began. In the beginning, God was very pleased with his creation. In fact, the Bible tells us that he stopped his work 6 times to observe his handiwork and saw that it was good. And on that 6th day, upon his final inspection of his handiwork, it even says in the Bible that God regarded his creation as very good. At this time in our study, it's a great time for each of us to remind ourselves that we are a part of God's creation. He made each and every one of us, Sometimes we don't feel worthy of His love, but He said, He made us and He is pleased with us. We are of great worth to God. We are His children. He didn't create any grandchildren for Himself. Only His children. You and I. And God didn't make any trash. God created all things beautiful. Turn them from ashes to beauty. And with a plan in mind for all of His creation, He has a plan for you as well. That plan might not be clear right now, but God made everything with a purpose. You have a purpose. God made each human uniquely special. He gave each of us talents, gifts that we are supposed to share with all of our fellow brothers and sisters for the betterment of the kingdom of God. Not one of us are given quite the same gift or talent as another. Perhaps you don't think God gave you anything special to share. Friends, you are wrong. The things that make you uniquely you, the God-given gift or talent, doesn't always have to be something grand with you know, a huge wow factor, like, for example, playing the piano professionally. Let's do some soul searching, you know, today and in the days ahead. Many years ago, I pondered that same question, and I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure the answer out for many, many years. You know, I kept asking myself, what is God's purpose for me? What does He have planned for me? What am I supposed to do? But you know, I believe I was overthinking it. You know, I think I was thinking along the lines that I just mentioned, you know, that grand wow, you know. What is it? But you know, along the way, God revealed some things to me. One day, He revealed the answer to my question. I'm a giver. If you have something and if you don't have something and you need it, it's yours. Shaziz and I have brought many people into our home over the years that just needed help getting back on their feet. And then they moved on, you know, maybe 6 months, maybe a year. And then they left and they made a new life for themselves. Some were complete strangers, and yet some were family and friends. I'm compassionate, empathetic, kind, I'm a good listener, and I love people. I'm deeply in tune with people's emotions, and I hate seeing a person or an animal suffer and be in pain. Also, I'm crafty. I enjoy doing craft projects for people and seeing the joy on their face when it's given to them. Friends, sharing this with you is not intended to be a toot my own horn moment. I share this because I'm trying to get you to think outside the box. I'm trying to make a point. Everyone has something that is their God-given talent or gift. Maybe you have a beautiful singing voice. Perhaps you're an amazing carpenter or mechanic. Perhaps you are savvy with a computer or you're a great cook. A talent doesn't have to be something huge and wow. It just has to be something that you're good at and that you are willing to share with someone else. Perhaps you have a special bond with elderly people or small children. Find places to plant yourself in your community that utilizes your best qualities. Maybe you like to do volunteer work. You know, the list of things go on and on, but think outside the box. Anything that you're good at, that is from God, and it is meant to be shared with one another. But friends, I'm starting to go down a rabbit hole here, so let's get back to our studies in Genesis. God created each one of us uniquely in His image. So don't let Satan fill your head with lies that you're not good enough or you have nothing to offer, because you are good and you're worthy. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And anything different that Satan tells you, if he tries to tell you that you don't have anything good to offer, that you're not a good person, that's a lie. Let's go back to that seventh day for a moment, the day of rest. The Bible tells us that on the seventh day, God rested. It seemed a little odd, or it seems a little odd, you know, at least to me, that God would need to rest. He's God. You know, He's the Almighty God. But apparently He considered this to be very, very important. And probably not so much for Himself, but for us. Rest is a commodity that few of us have the luxury of partaking in, or so we think, with our unacceptable to take an entire day to rest. But God knew that when He created us, that we would need that day of rest to replenish our body, our mind, and our soul. God knew we would need a time of refreshing. For example, in the Bible it says that Jesus Christ spent time alone, away from the crowds. This seventh day sets the example of how we should take one day away from our regular work and labors to just enjoy that time of the week. We should not feel guilty when we take this one day off to rest ourselves, to renew our spirit. But more importantly than all of that, it points out a specific time of the week for spiritual rest for the believers. In Hebrews 4:1, the Bible says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." Let me ask all of you a question. I want you guys to reflect on this question. In the creation story of Genesis, the Bible shows clearly that God enjoyed Himself as He went about the work of His creation. As mentioned earlier, He stopped six times to take pleasure in His handiwork. And then, on the seventh day, He rested. So let me pose this question to each of you out there. Do you enjoy your work? Do you take time to rest, to regroup, to re-energize? Or do you dislike the work that you do and your life is all about work, 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 and you take no pleasure in resting? It doesn't matter, folks, if it's your job, your hobby, or your ministry service. If your work is pleasing to God, then it should also bring pleasure to you. Consider what work your hands do. What are you doing to please both you and God? And I'm just throwing that out there as a little something extra. Just something that I wanted all of you to think about and to reflect on today and in the coming days. But right now, this seems like a good place to take a short break, and so I hope all of you will stay tuned in to the Hope Show after this short break.
Creation. of water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord.
I
Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. Thank you for staying tuned in to hear the second half of today's message. If you are just tuning in today, the message is about how it all started. We are studying the first part of the book of Genesis. Our main focus this week is the book of Genesis, chapters 1 through 11, the beginning of all creation. You know, friends, the last several weeks, I felt like God led me to talk about the things that are happening in the here and now. You know, to talk about the revelation and the second coming of Jesus so that, you know, we could have knowledge about, you know, some knowledge at least of what's happening in our world today and how the Bible is fulfilled and things like that. But I was led this week by God to talk about something different. You know, we all know how bad it is out there in the world right now. We all know what's happening, you know, and I just felt like God was saying, now we need hope. We need to go back to the beginning. We need to see how beautiful this world and His creation was in the very beginning. We need a different side of what's going on today painted on our mind. You know, look for the good. Go back to that simpler time in the beginning when He created all things new. And so I just believe that it's so important, with all the confusion and the chaos going on in this world today, all this evil and darkness that prevails around us, I think it's important to also go back to the beginning, when all was good and fresh and new. When God created the world, His intentions for the world back then in the beginning are so different than what is actually happening today. And it's important to know where we came from and whom do we belong. The world as we know it is now quite opposite of what God first created. And I know it must cause Him great sorrow to see what has happened to His creation. When I think about it, my heart breaks. My heart hurts. And He's the ultimate Father. There has to be so much sorrow in looking down on His creation and what this has become. The book of Genesis is a book that starts out with God creating heaven and earth, creating the first humans, Adam and Eve, in His image, but it also shows the beginning of the fall of man, where man disobeys God's rules and the world started going wrong and has kept going in the wrong direction, clear up to current day, despite our Heavenly Father's true intentions. And so, I want to introduce my husband Shaziz onto the show right now. And Shaziz, you're a man of great wisdom, and I believe that you can bring a lot to the plate today about Genesis and everything that's going on. Maybe you can explain it a little bit better than I have. So, here Shaziz.
Hello, everybody. See, most folks don't know that Genesis is my favorite book in the entire Bible. You know, in Genesis 3:19, King James Version, it says, "The sweat of your face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto the dust thou shalt return." You see this right here?
He's showing me some minerals.
There's some really beautiful rocks in my hands. Minerals, some call them precious stones and stuff like that. But the reason why I like Genesis the most is because if you can visualize the very first day of creation, could you imagine walking down a beach with colors like that?
That would be very beautiful. He's got crystals here that are amethyst, rose quartz, magnesite, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, onyx.
But it's the colors that are spectacular.
There's greens and teals and purples and pinks, whites, yellows, browns, reds, every color known to man. It's beautiful. I wish you all could see this.
The stones under your feet must have been so beautiful. You know, over the years, and the dust started covering up, like you see if your house, you get your brand new house, and you got your house, and you're busy all the time, and basically starting to work in its way right back to where it came from. See, this earth is amazing. It's a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It's just so beautiful and so incredible. We literally are a part of creation. God said he took us from the dust. And that's where we're going to go back one day. So I'm going home. Doesn't matter what anyone believes out there. One day I'm going home. I'll be back part of this earth right here. And so I already know where I'm at. But what Beverly was saying earlier about how we could literally take our world and bring it back around to the beauty that we see in these colors right here. God gave every single one of us a gift. He didn't give all of us a gift. All of us. He didn't give each one of us all the gifts, but he gave each one of us our own special gift. It's kind of like somebody building a house. You know, you have a plumber, you have an electrician, you have a painter, you have all the different trades that has to come to do with building houses. You know, when the one guy by himself, he might be able to build a house. But it's just not going to be as beautiful as the original creation, if you understand what I'm trying to say. When you put all those talents together, you put all those gifts together, then we are creators ourselves. We can literally do amazing things. Jesus said, "All these things that I do, you can do as well if you believe, and you'll do greater things." So imagine what we could do if we really wanted to turn our earth back into what it was when it started. If we really wanted to go back into the light where God is at, and the closer we get to God, the better things get. We could clean up this world. I mean, we got everything. There's nothing in this world that you're ever going to run out of. Did you know that? Think about it for a second. Where do you think tomatoes came from?
The earth,
yeah.
The ground.
We didn't invent them. Fruits and nuts and everything that we eat, we didn't invent them. They were here. They were natural to the earth. So everywhere underneath your ground is a treasure.
Well, it's said too that Genesis is the seed pot for the whole entire Bible. You know, it starts there. With a seed, with God's creation, and from there, we have, as Shaziz said, our fruits and our vegetables, and God gave us the animals on this earth.
This world would be a mess. I mean, it's already a mess, but it's mankind's mess. That's where the trash comes from, because you said Jesus doesn't create any trash, only treasure.
Yeah, and what you don't use, the earth takes back.
Yeah, everything. Everything, there's nothing that we ever built that won't go back into this world that we live in.
An example of that would be you're driving down the road, and maybe you see a little area off to the side of the road as you're passing by. Maybe you see like a bunch of trees there and a little clearing, and you suspect, well, maybe there was a house there a long, long time ago. and it's no longer there. Or maybe you might, as in the case of my parents' property, there used to be a cemetery on that property, and it's very, very old, and a lot of the stones are missing and things like that. But now you would never know.
Nope.
if you know as you're passing by these areas, whether out on the road or on your property or anything like that, these buildings have fell down, they have composted back into the earth, new trees have came up, and there's no telltale sign of what used to be there.
This world makes its own dirt. It makes its own everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was saying earlier about the vegetables that we all eat, you know, everybody found these vegetables out there in nature, and they knew they were good to eat, and they ate these vegetables. But before we ever even got here, they were there. Even in properties where you don't see a garden, it's already there. There's seeds everywhere, fruits that grow fruits. You know what I'm saying? You know, an apple comes with how many seeds inside of it? How many apple trees, and how many more apples come out of that? So we were given an overabundance. This is why I love Genesis, the book of Genesis, so much. Because, you know, God literally spoke into existence everything.
And the birds, you know, they come along and they pick up seeds and they scatter more seeds. And it's just amazing how this earth was created.
Yeah, it takes care of itself. But we take care of the earth, and the earth takes care of us. We have a relationship with one another, and the whole system just works in harmony.
But you're not seeing that in today's world, though.
Yeah.
You're not seeing that harmony. You're just seeing this world being overran by sin, you know.
Well, people decided to turn from God and all the exciting, shiny stuff, but they missed out on the biggest prize of all. You know, we came in this world, not one of us had a cent to our name. We didn't have no gold. We didn't have no clothes. We had nothing, you know. And we came in this world, we took our gifts that God had given us, and we built this wonderful civilization. And when we're done with it, guess what? It's going right back where it started. All that work that we did, we spent all that work on there. We missed out on the most glorious portion of the deal, which is each of our families and our friends. You know, some folks get angry at God because they say that there's starving babies in the world. If God loves the world so much, why is there starving babies in the world? It wasn't God. He gave us free will. He gave us each other. We are our brother's keepers. We're the ones who are supposed to be feeding those babies at all cost, at any cost. We're the ones, because we are creators. God said that. You know, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, that you could speak to that mountain and tell that mountain to move from there to there, and it would be so.
But you know, back in the days of Adam and Eve, when they were first created, God gave them the Garden of Eden, and He only asked one thing from them: do not eat from the tree of good and evil.
It's because He
had one rule, and you know, then along came the serpent and tricked Eve into believing that it's okay to go ahead and eat from that, and so she disobeyed God, and then, you know, she went to her husband Adam, and the deception carried on, and he ate, and then all of the sin came into this world, and from Adam and Eve, you know, the land was cursed. And so now it's just from the beginning of time in Adam and Eve up to the point that we're at now, you can see how very awry that has gone.
Yeah, well, we were running the show. God turned us loose. He told us that we had dominion over everything in this world.
We screwed up.
Sure we did. But we can get back there. That's why
That's
I
true.
Keep saying that if we want, we can literally come together and get right with God, and we can go back and we can fix this world. You know, it's never too late until it's over.
You know, and it takes every single one of us out there to make that happen. You know, no one person can accomplish that all by ourselves. It takes all of us, and it takes God at the center.
And you have to realize how powerful your words are, because like when God said, let there be light, there was light. When he said he created us in his image, there's some power to that. And when Jesus said that you can speak to tell this mountain to move, there's some power in that. If you just think it along a simple long lines of the words coming out of your mouth, you can take one word, and that one word, depending on the tone of how you say that word to somebody, can make or break their day. You see what I'm saying? You know how many words there are out there that you can say one way and it uplifts somebody, and you say it another way where it sounds sarcastic and it basically takes them into a negative realm?
And there's so much dialogue in this world too, you know. I mean, someone that is not from the United States could come over here and listen to what we're saying, but like you said, they're... same word, different meanings.
Yeah.
And same way for those of us in the United States. We could go over to a different country and it would be the same way, you know. It would take us a bit to decipher all that dialogue and to understand. But
there's one universal language that we all carry with us, regardless of whether we're good or bad people or whatever we believe, and that's the love in our heart. And that's what Jesus talked about. That's why God sent Jesus here, was so that he could put things right in this world and give us an opportunity, a bridge back, so to speak.
Well, you know, another one of... there's like four main characters in the book of Genesis. One is God, and then you've got Noah, and then there's Joseph and Jacob. And Abraham also. But, you know, God saw the world going awry, and he was displeased with it. And so he told Noah, take your family and yourself, build this ark, and take your family and put it on, you know, your family and everybody in the ark. Take two living things, like two giraffes and two elephants and two like creatures. And because he said that he was going to destroy the earth and all that was in it and start anew. And so Noah followed God's commandment, and he did that. And so, after 40 days, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, the water started to subside. And doves were sent out, things like that. And finally, God said, it's dry enough that you can get off of the ark, you know, and go about your business and go on with living. And you can start anew with Noah and his family and the creatures of the earth. But, and then there was a rainbow in the sky. And this rainbow is God's promise that he would not flood the world again. And so I believe here in Genesis 17:1 kind of sums it all up. You know, it was something that God had said to Abraham. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. You know, and you know, there's all these things in Genesis, that God's promise of salvation and redemption. And it addresses so many other things too, like creation and the imputation of sin and justification, atonement, depravity, wrath, grace, sovereignty, responsibility. All these things are addressed in Genesis.
History seems to be repeating itself. And unfortunately, you know, when asked, Jesus said that as it were, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. So when things get to where they were prior to the great flood, that's when all these things will play out and Jesus will come back. But I'm kind of the mindset like this. You said you wanted to try to bring a little bit of hope and uplifting to it. Just the words that Jesus spoke gave me hope that if for some reason, because God said that if we come back to Him, that He would heal our lands.
That's right.
And so if we could do that, and we could all come together and start working like that, working our way towards God and being good to each other and caretakers of this world, wonderful, beautiful world that we live in. This world is a gift.
Yes, it is.
We can feed and shelter and heal and take care of every single living man, woman, and child and creature in this world if we so choose to do so. That is our free will.
Mm-hmm.
There are those out there who don't want to do that. We don't have the time to wait around for them to do that. We have to use the power of our words and the power of the light that shines within us to shine that bright as light as possible, because it only takes one candle in the darkest cave to fight back that light. So you imagine if you got 1,000 candles in that dark cave.
That's right.
Soon it's all bright in there. It's all warm and everybody can rest assured that that darkness is not the power. God is the power. That true glory of God, that light, that yes. is the power.
Yes. Well, it's been about an hour now, and I want to thank you, Shaziz, for being a part of today's show. And would you like to close in a closing prayer for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're living through some trials and tribulations that we know that was already prophesied in the book. And for those of us who believe and try to guide others to the light, then please give us the strength and to always wear our full armor of God and your glory. Please help us help each other. Please help us find the strength inside of us to use all this wonderful beauty and gifts that you have given us, all the great abundance, to make this world as close to what you made when you created it all. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Shaziz. It was beautiful. So, folks, until we meet again, same time, same place, next Saturday, I wish all of you a very blessed week. And so at this time, I'm going to play us up out here with two songs. All Things New by Stephen Curtis Chapman and How Great Thou Art, one of my favorites, from Alan Jackson.
Don't forget those colors.
Yes.
Imagine walking down a beach looking like that.
Yes, friends. It's just beautiful. If any of you know anything about crystals and minerals, you know how they are so beautiful.
That's what it looked like the very first day of creation.
Yes.
That's what it could look like again if we so choose.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Introduced your glory to every living. some wonder. Consider all the worlds our hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Thank you.